Welcome to The Gut Goddess Show, your weekly podcast to help you create one happier, flatter, and more joyful belly and life. And I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-round health geek. An interesting fact about me, I'm a total coffee snob. I really am. I'm one of those annoying people that really cares about how my coffee comes. Beautiful. Welcome to episode 23 of the Gut Goddess Show. Today we're going to be talking about how on earth do you get your partner on board with this healthy eating malarkey? How can you get them and do this whole health thing as a team without it causing you to self-sabotage, feel like an idiot, or cause arguments? How do you communicate? How can you get your partner on board? And I'm going to be interviewing my partner, my wonderful husband, Joe. So that's what we're going to be diving into. And he's going to be sharing and we're going to be having a conversation around with some really useful tips and actions around how you can get your partner on board or other kind of family members, whether or not if you're single and don't have a partner right now, this also applies to like flatmates, family that you live with. A lot of the stuff we talk about actually really covers anyone that you're looking to get on board and envision, and anyone that you're looking to be a little bit more supportive when it comes to your health journey. And it's really important. Trying to do this stuff on your own is really, really difficult. It's trying to do it if you're surrounded by naysayers and people who are actually actively discouraging you from pursuing your health does make it trickier. So that is what we're talking about in today's episode. Otherwise, thank you for joining me. It's so exciting. I love it. As I've been talking to different women and things in the last couple of months, how many of you listened to the show? And I genuinely really appreciate that there's people listening as I talk to myself in my home office on a Wednesday morning. So thank you. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you are investing and taking an interest in your own health, because it's honestly one of the best things you can ever do. So before we dive on in, I want to let you know about my Gut Goddess quiz. I created a quiz like a month or two ago called the Gut Goddess Quiz, which is like a free online health assessment. So if you are feeling frustrated, confused, annoyed, mystified at why maybe you're eating really healthy but you still feel like crap, or maybe you are wondering what the heck is going on with my body, is it my gut, is it my hormones, like why do I feel so rubbish, then make sure you head over to Supernaturally Healthy and that.org, and there is a quiz there that I have created just for you. So you head to supernaturallyhealthy.org/quiz. And there's a free quiz. It's really quick. And what I will do is send you, after you complete the quiz, kind of a bespoke plan of action and a Gut Goddess e-guide and a whole bunch of resources with some tailored actions to really help you with whatever is going on with your body. I know lots of you have done it already, but if you haven't done it, then head on over. It's a great free resource and really, really helpful in terms of just demystifying what the heck is going on with you and your body. So that is awesome. Another thing I want to let you know about is I mentioned last time that I am creating a new kind of online program, which is going to be coming to you the end of this month. I have a name for it. Last time I think I did this, I was like, I don't know what it's called. I'm terrible at naming things. But it's called the Flourish Academy. It is a four-week online program. And guys, it's going to be awesome. So stay tuned. I'm going to be giving everyone listening to the podcast a special coupon code in the coming weeks and inviting you to find out a bit more. So that is currently what I am beavering away and working my butt off to make awesome for you guys. It's going to be the real foundations and the key principles that you need to not only just hit the reset button, but also to make some real progress in your body, in your energy, in your hormones, in your belly, and in how you feel. So that's exciting. I'll carry on working away. Most of it's done, but there's still a couple of things to do. And I want to thank you for those of you that have left a review. Sophie left a review that said, I think this podcast is brilliant. Kezia seems to have such a wealth of knowledge across all areas of health. What really makes it stand out is how down to earth she is and how she tells you what you need to know, but without coming across as preachy. She's a joy to listen to. Thanks, Sophie. Aw, you guys. Just in my pregnant state, makes me feel all emotional. But seriously, having reviews really helps with the podcast, helps me to reach new audiences, helps me to spread the message, educate people more on how they can feel more awesome. So if you like the show, then you can head to this podcast, so The Gut Goddess Show, in your iTunes store. Just search for The Gut Goddess Show. Click on it and then you'll see ratings and review. And when you click on that, you'll see a tiny little button that says write a review. And so it would be great if you head over there, leave me a review, let me know what you think. I read them all regularly. But otherwise, let's get on with today's show. I've got my most favorite guest on, because he's my husband. And this really is, it's a conversation between the two of us. But there's also a really good couple of probably about three or four key actions that you can take when it comes to getting your family or your partners on board that actually I think are really, really helpful. And from this conversation that me and Joe had around, okay, how can you overcome any obstacles actually that are maybe taking place in your relationships around healthy eating? And so if you have any questions about this or about the show, then do let us know. If you'd like to hear more episodes with the wonderful Mr. Supernaturally Healthy, aka Joseph All, then let me know. I enjoyed having him on the podcast and he has got lots of information. I thought maybe about doing one around financial health. He is a total numbers guy, so I wondered about having him back on that. But I want to give you the weekly show and education and podcast that you want. So do let me know. I'm here to serve you. That's why I create this every week. I want to be creating the podcasts that you want to listen to. So let me know. So let me know what you like. Let me know what you don't like. And I'll just keep on creating and helping. So enjoy today's show. And I'll see you next week, beautiful. Bye. Episode, I get to interview one of my most favorite ever guests.
Ooh.
Yep, and definitely the sexiest and most handsome guest I think I've maybe ever interviewed in my whole life. And that's because I'm interviewing Joe. We're having a conversation together about how do you get your partner on board with your healthy eating aims and plans or protocols, or how do you do it as a team and how do you do it together? Not necessarily because we both got this perfect or got all the answers, but I just thought it'd be really helpful for you guys just to hear our experience and also hear Joe's perspective. So Joe, if you don't know, is my husband / man of dreams. So welcome, Joe, to the Gut Goddess Show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. You look very beautiful today.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. I know, now you can be a part of what you know I'm doing when I'm just sitting in my office talking to myself. This is what I'm doing. Although sometimes I am just talking to myself as well.
Yes, or singing.
Or singing, yes. You do have to put up a lot with my singing. It's one of the many reasons why when we moved house from a flat, where obviously loud singing maybe isn't appreciated by all the other like eight neighbours, whereas currently my office is like detached to anyone else. So as long as the windows are closed, I figure people can't hear me too much.
It's fine. Contained.
It's kind of contained. So sorry if anyone in the local region is listening. I will be singing very loudly. But what we're going to talk about today is a little bit of our journey, I suppose, of eating healthy. Because you guys listening here to the podcast hear a lot about my wild and wonderful and crazy and passionate thoughts about food and healing the gut and the body and mindset and all of these kinds of things. But really, it's not just me in the house and it's not just me, you know, I do a lot of the cooking, I suppose, but I don't do all the cooking. And actually, it is a real team effort. And I know from work with my clients that it's really difficult if your partner isn't supportive. But I know also that a lot of the time we find it really difficult of how, I suppose, to communicate with our other halves or our husbands or partners or whatever about healthy eating, because I know lots of people listening might be in similar positions to me where they've maybe had health issues or things they want to work on, and then their other half, like Joe here, you don't really have any huge health stuff that you've had to deal with.
No. Picture of health.
You are. He is a picture of health. He is one of those people, 6'6".
Six or five, yeah. And a half.
You're not quite. Up. Yeah, we were married for nearly 6 years, and I think you've managed to gain like half a stone, and you really probably needed to, like, and you...
No pregnancy sympathy weight yet.
No pregnancy sympathy weight yet.
Sure will come.
Yeah, which will come. We're recording this, and I'm 7 months pregnant, so maybe that will come, and you currently cycle, what, 13?
13 miles a day
30 miles
work.
A day.
Well, overall.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you have... Yeah, so Joe is... As you would say, a pretty good picture of health. Never any digestive issues, hugely. No, not a lot of diagnoses going on. So how do we, with me and my weird and wonderful protocols and cleanses and deciding, oh, we need to support our liver and these sort of stuff, how do we actually manage that in our marriage? But before we dive into that, tell us a bit about you, Joe, who you are, what you do, and your, like, what you grew up eating.
Great. Well, I currently work as a software developer, which basically involves sitting and writing code quietly in a corner, which I enjoy a lot. Basically more on the introverted scale of things. Enjoy maths and physics and juggling and things related to that. And being outside is great. And reading.
Yeah, it's a good summary.
Yeah. I grew up eating... Mum had a very good system where we would rotate through our meals once every week, so we knew on Thursday we would have
the classic
bangers
system.
And mash.
Yeah,
and Sunday would be lasagna with sweet corn.
Really, lasagna on a Sunday?
That's my
mixing
favorite
it up.
Meal.
Yeah. Oh, your favorite meal.
So yeah, there was definitely regularity, lots of pasta-based things, and I would say a standard diet. We didn't deviate. There wasn't too much experimentation in the kitchen. Just solid meals, good rota.
Yeah, knew what to expect.
Knew what to expect.
When to expect it.
Yeah.
And tell us, what was your favourite pudding growing up? Because this always makes me laugh.
I don't know why it makes you laugh. This is very serious. You know, submit it to a
I should make a vision of it. Yeah, you could do a vision of it on the blog.
My favourite pudding growing up was a Mr. Kipling's apple pie in the little silver dish on a plate. And then carefully upturn a single chocolate mousse from a carton onto it. Then douse that liberally with some double cream and carefully present it. And then before eating, mush it into a kind of a paste and then eat that, which is amazing.
I feel like those mini apple pies really sort of are a good symbol and mark my childhood as well. A lot of those mini, or sometimes it was apple pies and sometimes it was jam tarts, but those featured quite regularly as our puddings. Must have been like well marketed in the 80s and the early 90s or something.
And semolina.
And semolina, yes, we grew up with a lot of semolina, and my mum used to make something in our more economically challenged times as a family, something called beanie pie, which was, I mean, pie is quite a gross overstatement of what it was. It was just baked beans with boxed mashed potato on top, so not actual mashed potato, but smash mash, where you just added hot water, And then you would make that puree and put it on top of beans. And that was beanie pie. Sometimes there was a few mushrooms in the beanie pie. That went on for quite a while. And how, when it comes to eating healthy, or what was your approach to food before we got together?
I think my approach to food was I didn't spend any time thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just made sure I had a humongous bag of pasta in the house and a humongous thing of rice.
Mm-hmm.
And then on my way back from work, sometimes pick up some kind of Tesco-based jar to make a bolognese,
mm-hmm.
or chili, or variants on that theme.
Yes.
So simplicity was key.
Yes.
And bulk.
Bulk, yes. You're still very concerned about quantity of food.
Quantity is important.
Which is something I've had to learn in our relationship. I think when we first got married and I made, something like peas or soup or something for dinner, and you were just like, this isn't enough food. Yeah, you're just like, this is a snack. This isn't a meal. And I was like, what? So that the sheer quantity of what you have, how much you eat, is still surprises me to this day. I sometimes totally underestimate and forget that you probably eat a lot. Although, to be fair, I eat a lot.
Though you're growing a person.
Yeah, but even before I was growing a person,
yeah.
Definitely ate a lot still. I think I'm not like a delicate, oh, I've eaten an apple, I'm so full kind of female. I could probably eat roughly similar to what you do. And I don't cycle 30 miles a day. And so when it comes to us and all of my weird and wonderful dietary changes, and because I know I think it was the year we got married, that's when I started the GAPS diet, mm-hmm. which is the gut and psychology syndrome diet, by Dr. Natasha McBride, which is a specific kind of gut healing protocol that's great for gut issues, but it was specifically designed for autism, which I don't have autism. Although I did find out this year I'm on the spectrum due to being dyslexic, which I figured found that out in one of my lectures, which I found quite funny. Told my family. They were like, well, no surprises there. But how have you... Because I get this question a lot, and lots of people use it as an excuse, or they find it really, really hard, or it's this idea of their partners just... They're making it difficult for them to eat really healthy. How has your experience been of me and my various weird and wonderful ways of eating over the previous years?
Well, I think I didn't come into it completely unaware. Because mm-hmm. Before we met, even my family had gone on a bit of a journey in health.
Yeah.
And changed what they were eating. Although that was once I'd moved out. So when I came home sometimes from uni, and instead of getting spaghetti bolognese, I got spaghetti lentil bolognese. I almost cried. I was like, what is this?
Yeah. Lentil bolognese isn't the same as spaghetti bolognese. It's true.
No, different. So I think through that, I discovered the principle of, oh, well, what you eat actually has a big impact on your health and life. So mm-hmm. I think I was bought onto the philosophy of food is important, and lots of processing can't lead to good stuff.
Yeah, so, processing of foods, you mean?
Yeah. Lots of processed foods can't be good for you in the long term. So I hadn't actually made any actual changes. I just... sympathetic with that viewpoint.
Yeah, because I think it was your like dad and your sister had watched a couple of documentaries.
Yeah.
Around food and
like food industry stuff.
Yeah, I think it was probably Food Inc. That was maybe the first thing they watched or something.
Yeah.
That caused that change. So, in lots of ways, I suppose our relationship had a bit of a head start in that. You already came to it with some awareness and sympathy towards that due to your lentil bolognese experience.
Yes.
Through uni. But
and then I guess when we met, because obviously what I ate was very different to what you ate.
Yeah.
I think part of it is probably I am quite an adaptable type.
Yeah, you are.
And I've never minded, I've never been a fussy eater.
Yeah.
So that change was fairly straightforward for me due to, I guess, that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Aspect. And I think because it was just one of the things, like when you get married, you make lots of little changes.
Yeah.
Some
yeah,
bigger, some smaller. And I just took that as part of the deal. And it kind of made me a chance. Was like, oh, yes, well, I do agree with this way of thinking and doing. And this will help me because Kizzy is a much better cook, so she can do that. But I'm a much better washer-upper, so you I can are. Continue to do that.
Yeah.
And although I just have to grin and bear it initially, I know that, yeah, your kind of taste buds and things do change. So what I previously found very bland and horrible.
Yeah.
After a little while, you find that your taste buds do change. And actually, it's not really a big issue.
Yeah.
So maybe just diving into the process initially and then realizing, oh, actually, your taste can change. So
yeah,
I'm in control of that. So let's do that.
And I think what you say about kind of getting behind the big philosophy of it actually is really important, because some of the reasons why it's been okay and not, you know, it's not caused huge rifts or arguments or tension in our relationship is some of it your personality strengths and types, isn't it? You are super adaptable. If you've ever done Strength Finders, you know, that's one of Joe's top five things. Strength Finders is a tool that you would, like an assessment you would do to figure out what are your big strengths. It's a kind of personal development thing. We've both done it. And one of your big strengths is being adaptable to change. It's not one of mine, FYI. not that adaptable to immediate changes of plan. I like things to stick with a plan, which is why I think it took me 6 months to get my head around getting pregnant so quick. It's like, oh, right, straight away. Okay. But I think that's a really good point that you bring up, that actually everyone listening with their partners can be supportive of, is actually in some way trying to get and to communicate not the fact that you want to eat more vegetables or not eat gluten or whatever it is, not the actual action, but really as a team and as a couple or as a family to get behind that philosophy actually and understand the why behind doing it. Because I think trying to just persuade a partner to eat carrots when they don't really like carrots or to try a new food when they're maybe really fussy, that in itself could just make you be kind of naggy or annoying. Whereas actually if you can present the bigger picture or the bigger vision of, okay, this is why we want to try and eat more carrots or less processed foods, or this is why I want to try being gluten-free or whatever it is. Actually, if you can communicate and both kind of get inspired, I suppose, with the why, I think that helps. Because there's personality things in it that have made that transition easier for you. But I do think you actually, you'd kind of taken the vision on board.
Yeah.
Really, of processed foods and the pharmaceutical industry, and not that you were like going around being an activist about it, but there was a part of you that made sense.
Absolutely. And I think one way I've just thought of that, you helped me, because you didn't totally throw me in the deep end.
True.
yeah, it's kind of phasing in any humongous changes. And things like, I'm a big fan of custard and trifle,
yeah.
So at one time you very kindly figured out a way to make them with weird ingredients.
Yes.
And that was very helpful and kind.
Yeah, and that's something I still try to do now, like, because you're like, you like desserts and pudding.
Oh, yes.
Joe ideally would have a pudding. It's just part of dinner. You know, it's not like a special occasion.
Not optional.
Yeah, so most days Joe's like, what, pudding? Dessert? Which I suppose we've slowly been working on not maybe having pudding all the time.
Every time.
But I do try and do some of those alternatives, or be like, oh, I'm going to make an apple crumble, or I'll make chocolate ice cream, mm-hmm. Or I'll make custard, or things like that. You do love trifle. I've only ever really made that for you once, which I feel like makes me a terrible wife.
That was very good.
But it was very good. I just feel like trifle's such a faff to make from scratch, because I make the sponge from scratch, and then the jam or the jelly from scratch, and then but I should make you a trifle again.
You should.
I really should. I mean, I actually quite liked the one that I made. I do have a trifle recipe on the blog, so if you are a big trifle fan, just search for trifle on the recipe section in the search box and the recipe will come up. But I think that is also a really good point, is kind of not only getting your other half inspired with the bigger picture. And a good way of doing that is like some of those documentaries. There's lots of things on Netflix. There's a couple. You've got to be a little bit careful because some of them are pretty propagandary. Like, oh, there was that one that was all about being a vegan and how eating eggs is as bad for you as smoking, which is absolutely ridiculous, and it's just ridiculous science. That is not science. So you've got to be a little bit careful about the propaganda, especially if you watch maybe some of these more vegan based ones, not because of all the information there is inaccurate, but there's often an agenda from potentially food industry in there as well. Which isn't the conversation for today, but things like Food Inc. and Food Matters, and we watched the sugar movie.
Yes.
When we were on our detox in Thailand, maybe we should Joe, bless him, over the many, many years, I wanted to do a juice detox cleanse in Thailand when we did our world trip a few years ago, and Joe was well up for it. But I suppose that's kind of further down the line. But I think doing that, getting envision together of why you're making these changes is really, really important. And then also, I think you're right, looking at, okay, like in your case, you really like custard and trifle and you like pudding. So how could you make some healthier alternatives for that? So I would say now your palate probably naturally for sugar especially is a lot less than it used to be.
Oh, yes.
Because you still would just like eat bags of wine gums and...
Yep.
and all of those kind of things. You still like wine gums, but you don't love them like you used to because you just don't, your palate's changed. Yeah, so I've ruined them for you.
Yep. Wine gums.
And so I think that's a really helpful thing you can do. And there's loads of recipes on my blog. I have the Sweet Treat Collection. There's tons of things and loads of resources on Pinterest for that, where you don't necessarily need to suddenly announce to the family that, you know, you're stopping eating sugar and refined sugar. You might just start to make apple crumbles with berries and some natural sweeteners in there, or you're making your own custard instead of it coming from a carton, or you're, you know, making some ice cream, or just putting, you know, you can just make those shifts. I've done that a lot with our wider family to begin with in the process. I remember making like my beetroot fudge cake and just not telling the family that it was like healthier and gluten-free and dairy-free and had beetroot in it. And my dad, who was very much at the time quite skeptical of anything, or the bird food I was eating, that's what he tended to call it, loved it. They didn't announce to him that it was this super healthy thing. I mean, it doesn't mean all the things, the recipes I've tried have been a success. My chickpea brownies didn't go down so well with the family. And I used to love them though.
Slightly leathery pizza.
Oh yeah.
Bases.
Yeah.
Took a few iterations.
So I have a pizza base recipe on the blog, which is nice.
Very nice.
Gluten and grain free. But it took me several months and probably like 15 iterations of a recipe to get a good solid pizza base that doesn't crumble when you pick it up, that cooks well, that actually tastes fine for pizza base, like for your toppings. But poor Joe had to go through all the horrendous, some of them were so bad, like they just literally tasted like leather. It was
and as tough.
Yeah, really tough. Like I thought we were gonna like chip a tooth.
Yeah.
So poor Joe does. It's a good job that you're not a fussy eater, because you do have to go through some of my recipe development iterations, which they don't always start off that great.
Although, I'd say about the greater proportion of them are great.
Yeah, and then there's a couple of really awful ones. Yeah. I think I once tried like courgette scones as well, and they were really bad. Don't know why. Sometimes I forget like key ingredients like coconut sugar or salt and things. Yeah. Although we've just had some scotch eggs, which were very much a success.
Very much a success.
And a vegetable tagine, so I'm currently making a lot of recipes for my Nourish membership.
Yeah.
So I think those are two really good, helpful points. And I suppose some of it as well is we've really, where I'm at right now with eating and nutrition and all the stuff that I know, I didn't know when we first got together. And I suppose it has been a bit of a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think from my perspective, I've tried, well, you can give me your feedback on it, but I've tried not to force things on you. But because I primarily cook, then I will take into consideration what you like. But if I'm putting the effort in and doing the shopping, which is kind of how we've sort of delegated
mm-hmm.
some of our like household things, I will eat to make the things that are going to suit me. And because you're thankfully not that fussy, other than not eating peanuts because you're allergic to them.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily force on you that you have to be gluten-free or you have to be dairy-free or what.
No, there's never been, never been any judgment or forcing. So that's been good.
Yeah. I think if partners feel judged, like say if I was all of a sudden like, oh, why are you eating so much gluten? It's so bad for you. All that sugar, it's going to give you diabetes. And I will say that to you if you ask, or I might joke about it now. But I suppose to begin with, it wasn't something I would comment on. You're free to eat the foods that you want to eat. Yeah. And the foods that you eat aren't my responsibility.
But then say if I've had a coffee at 4 p.m. and then complain of a slightly, totally disrupted night, then I wouldn't necessarily get any sympathy for that.
No, you definitely wouldn't.
Which is fair enough.
not the second time you've done it. Maybe the first time. The first time you maybe got a little bit of sympathy.
Yes.
Second time you did it, no sympathy there.
Yeah, so no judgment, but just allowing choices to...
Yeah. I suppose it's that kind of cause and effect, choice and consequence. If you choose to have coffee at 5 p.m. and don't get any sleep, then that's your choice and your consequence. And I'm not going to waste my energy trying to convince you otherwise.
No.
Like, if you want to do that every day, then you can. I'm not going to do it, but you can. And I think some of that is maybe around over the years, learning actually where I'm going to invest my energy. Because I could spend a really long time convincing you. We chatted about sugar, refined sugar, for actually a good few years in our relationship before you necessarily kind of took any action on it. And so I wasn't spending that time persuading you that how, like, wine gums and whatever were not going to be helping you feel your best. But I think it's... Oh, I've lost my trail of thought with that.
Freedom.
Yeah. And it's not. It's not just with our relationships, with family as well, and anyone I interact with. You know, I could spend a lot of time and energy trying to persuade people to do things that I know might do them good, I can pour out a lot of my energy doing that. Whereas actually, I've got to respect your choice. And also respect the consequence of your choice and not feel like I have to fix it. And I think that's not just around food. That's just in a relationship, I suppose, because you respect my choice and the consequence of that as well. I think in lots of different aspects around health and healthy eating. And it's really been a journey and process for both of us together. I think, and I've grown, and I think also I suppose you've seen the effect it has on me as well. Has that helped in terms of my health changes? Has that made a big difference or not really? Because with, you know, you see me so much in the day to day.
Yeah. Certainly don't like to see you sick.
No. Yeah, that's true. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
And I suppose I'm very passionate about it. So I suppose a lot of the energy, instead of trying to persuade you or preach at you or the family, instead of putting my energy into that, I suppose my energy is more around just being passionate about my choices, I suppose, in a way, and passionate about this topic and the subject and going and studying again and all of those kinds of things, as opposed to, you know, trying to get you to change. Because I think in a relationship, you can't make another person change.
No.
And nor should you ever try to, actually. I'm not sure that's always going to work. That's always just going to backfire on you, I suppose, isn't it? If I just spend a lot of time trying to make you different, actually, it's, and you were doing the same to me, then I'm not sure.
Not good.
No, neither of us are marriage counsellors, but I do imagine that that's a great foundation for things.
Yeah.
So what would you have any advice or insight into, so say there's a woman listening and husband or partner is supportive in a way, but always comes home and will bring like dairy milk under any crisis, or just sit and eat lots of chocolate or beer or whatever in an evening when they, well, you know, when their wife or partner is trying to, I don't know, maybe follow the GAPS protocol, or maybe, you know, deal with their sugar intake. Would you have any insight or advice to give to the female counterparts or the people listening to this show, to their husbands, of what would maybe help them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important that you would be able to express to your beer drinking, chocolate eating partner the effect that it has on you, and how it makes you feel, or how it affects you negatively, because then you're not really putting blame on them or pressure on them. You're just making sure that, well, expressing how their choices have affected you. And I think basically that is the thing to do, because I think beyond that, like, you can't affect their choices, or you can't control them. No. That's a bad start. But I mean, I would say to like the guys, often we just need to get over ourselves and just think of it like a challenge, like an Iron Man or something.
Yeah.
Or like find a way to make it into a challenge or a sport. I think guys often just need to get over themselves and be supportive of their wives.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good summary. And I think,
like, yeah, it can be very melodramatic about it. It's like, I mean, it's just food.
Yeah, it is just food. And ultimately, I've said this to clients, and this is maybe, I don't know, a harsher approach, but if you're the primary kind of cook in the house, people listening to the podcast, and if someone complains about your food or is ungrateful for the time, effort and energy you're putting into it, whether or not you're just heating something up in the oven, that still requires you thinking about it, planning for it, shopping for it, or whether you're making, you know, like a slow cooked casserole or something. If they are complaining about it, then they don't have, you know, they can sort themselves out. That, you know, they don't have to eat your food. If they, I think sometimes in relationships, women can often become much like martyrs. Mm-hmm. And we'll just be like, oh, well, he just complains about all this healthy stuff. Like, if he doesn't like what you're eating, then that's his problem. Like, he can make himself some cheese on toast if he wants. And if that's what he's going to live off, then that's fine. Which I know is maybe a bit harsh, but I think it's, I think it's for some men, that's probably a helpful,
helpful thing. And coupled with what we said before, like finding ways you can make changes incrementally.
That's true.
Because it is never going to work if you just throw it all on them at once.
Yeah, and actually that's a good point.
That will never work, but if you can express how their choices make you feel and then offer some small changes that can be made that would help you.
Yeah.
Then, because men like action. Like, what action could I take?
Yeah, that's true.
And is it achievable? It's not like, oh, I have to change my entire diet by tomorrow. It's like, okay, I'm not going to bring beers back or whatever the thing is.
I'm not going to bring you dairy milk home every day or a cream cake several times a week.
What are some achievable mini changes that can be made, and then being very excited and supportive and thankful when many changes happen.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, because I think I would assume most people in the relationship love you and they want to support, they want to be supportive, and men especially, as a stereotype, sometimes are a bit more action kind of fix it oriented, and sometimes they just need to know what they can do. And balancing that with, a lot of guys, I think, get burned by their other halves doing this overnight change, all or nothing. I'm doing a 7-day or 30-day cleanse and detox, and then you throwing out all the food. You know, they actually sometimes pay the consequence or experience the consequence of our dieting on, off train, being on a wagon, off a wagon, that whole dieting culture that is so often toxic. They often will experience the negative sides of that, of, you know, of us going all in and then giving up and then feeling like a failure and then crying and then, you know, and having to pick up the emotional pieces of that process. So I think that's a really good point, actually, saying, okay, making these incremental changes, not as a family overnight you throw out every piece of refined sugar in your cupboards and you present your husband with quinoa porridge when he's used to having toast and marmalade, you know, making, maybe like focusing on one change at a time and really looking at changing your lifestyle over time, I think is really, really, really helpful. And then also as the, what I assume is the female counterpart of this relationship, is saying like how it makes you feel, I think was a really good point. And then also what they can do to help, like making it really practical. So like, hey, I love it that you think of me and bring me dairy milk after, you know, I've had a stressful day with the kids, but could you maybe bring me a lemon drizzle naked bar instead? Or could you maybe bring me, instead of a coffee, if you're trying to cut down on coffee, could you maybe bring me my favorite tea, herbal tea, which is, could you please bring me my peppermint and nettle tea? Like, be really specific of a couple of the action points that they could do to help.
Specific is good.
Yeah, specific. I think specific is good. And you're right, being really encouraging with the progress and with the help that they give. I think encouragement goes a long way. If food and healthy eating gets you both quite defensive, then it's maybe because, I don't know, there needs to be more specific things, actions communicated, and a bit more encouragement given too. So if your husband just like eats like deep fried haggis and chips for lunch and bread and pasta, but all of a sudden they start eating some broccoli, a little bit of like a floret of broccoli with their dinner, then that's progress. It's, I think sometimes we get a bit caught up in perfect, eating the perfectly healthy diet or the perfectly healthy family. And I'm not really that doesn't exist. We're actually just always looking to make progress.
Climb a mountain one step at a time. The wise man once said.
Yes, I'm sure some wise man once said that. which is true. But I think those are really helpful action points. So to summarize on what some of the stuff we've said, we've talked a bit about getting your partner on board by communicating the vision mm-hmm. of it. That really was already established in you and our relationship, which made it easier, I think, definitely for us, is that mm-hmm. in some level you were kind of on board
with in.
Real food, whole food. You just couldn't really be bothered to do anything about it.
Yes.
But that's, you know, then I came in and then...
I married you. That was my action point.
Yeah, that was your action point for that. Marry someone who Marry. Is bothered about this. and then we talked about doing kind of healthy alternatives and replacements. So if your mm-hmm. partner loves fizzy drinks, for example, maybe you get them to try some kombucha or kefir or like a more of a natural version of Coca-Cola. I know that I think Whole Earth does a less crap-filled version of lemonade and Coca-Cola. You know, trying to make those alternatives or making homemade brownies on a Friday night instead of having slabs of just Aero chocolate or something. Like thinking about how can you just make those gentle shifts and replacements, or things like gluten. Often with like a lot of gluten-free pasta, a lot of the time people don't know the difference.
No, yeah.
Like, especially if you get some good gluten-free pasta, they don't know the difference. So you can make...
I mean, pasta's pretty bland anyways.
Yeah, I mean, unless...
Just a foundation.
Yeah, unless you're making your pasta from scratch with a great yeah. Italian recipe you got from some awesome grandma in, you know, somewhere in Tuscany. It's pretty bland. So looking at those healthy replacements or just little alternatives that you can give them. And then we talked a little bit about explaining how their choices make you feel. So communication, I suppose, is a really important part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the other thing we said, the final thing?
I think it was back to incremental changes.
Yes. And
point two again.
Yeah, of those making small changes and honouring sort of the process of it together and giving clear action points of how they can help you.
Yeah.
As well, because I think, you know, you like to know how you can actually help as opposed to me just being like, oh, I'm trying to be healthy.
Yes.
Why aren't you helping me be healthier? That's very vague as opposed to, okay, when you do this, it makes me really tempted to eat loads of rubbish and I don't feel good doing that. Can you bring me flowers instead of bring me chocolates? Or can you make me, instead of a cup of tea in the morning, can you make me a fennel tea because I'm trying to reduce my caffeine or whatever it is. Just being really specific as opposed to vague and kind of also being aware of if we've been on the dieting train for many years and we've gone on and off of diets and programs and our partner's been around for that, we kind of need to make up ground for that really because I think they experience our dieting dramas as well as us. And I think if that's a history you have of on and off and dieting and being on some as well, then off, then Weight Watch, then Whole 30, and then all or nothing. And then, you know, what if you've been on that sort of wagon, I think you need to give your partner a bit of grace actually, because they're probably going to be expecting you to do the same thing. And then they have to pick up the emotional pieces when it all fails and you fall off the wagon and you binge and you don't like yourself anymore. Actually, there's probably a little bit of that's probably where some wariness is coming from. And I think what you said, if, you know, they're just fussy eaters, then some of it is they just need to get over themselves. It's just food.
Man up.
Yeah.
Eat that broccoli.
Yeah, it's just broccoli. Like, if someone's going to create a drama about broccoli, then A, let them, but B, it's just get over it. You could play them this part of the podcast for that. So I hope that's been helpful for you guys in just hearing the other perspective. Joe is the sort of secret behind the scenes member of the Supernaturally Healthy team in that he keeps me sane and does all the washing up and the laundry and many, many other things that stop me falling into a pile and puddle of hysteria. So let us know if you found this episode helpful. Then Joe, you could always come back and we could chat about other things.
Thank you.
So let us know via either direct messenger or on Instagram or on Facebook. You can message me there. Let me know what you liked about this, if you have any questions, and if you'd like Joe to come back onto the podcast.
Please let me back.
Please let me back. Otherwise, I will see you next week for another episode of The Gut Goddess Show. Sending you lots of love. Thank you for listening. And I will speak to you guys soon.